This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and listen to this. Goodbye. Goodbye, loving, caring world. These are lines of text purportedly emanating from the rubble of Aleppo, Syria, pockets of life connected to Wi-Fi, seeping out to the world. Here's another one. Under attack, nowhere to go, every minute feels like death, pray for us. Perhaps my final message from Aleppo. Regime forces are closing in and bunker busters are raining down. I can tweet now, but I might not do it forever. Please save my daughter's life and others. I guess it's goodbye. These are among the messages purported to be from civilians trapped in the Syrian city of Aleppo as it falls to Syrian government troops. Here's a little girl named Bana Al-Abed. My dad is injured now. I am crying. Final message. People are dying since last night. I'm very surprised that I am tweeting right now and still alive. I'm sad no one is helping us in this world. No one is evacuating me and my daughter. Fatima. Bana, reportedly an elementary school-age girl, and her mother Fatima translating there. These messages are all we have to go on regarding the humanitarian situation inside the city of Aleppo right now. They may not be legitimate. This little girl might be a made-up propaganda tool to favor one group or another, although the idea of concocting an imaginary trapped seven-year-old to win points on cable TV news is its own different kind of horror. Windows into Aleppo are hard to come by right now. That's the lesson. The so-called regime forces, those loyal to President Bashar al-Assad, have retaken the city, or at least almost all of it. Is the cavalry on the way? Secretary of Defense Ash Carter announced the deployment of 200 additional U.S. forces to Syria over the weekend.
These uniquely skilled operators will join the 300 U.S. Special Operations Forces already in Syria to continue organizing, training, equipping, and otherwise enabling capable, motivated local forces to take the fight to ISIL.
But those soldiers are headed to fight ISIS in the stronghold city of Raqqa, nowhere near Aleppo. Is ISIS the main issue right now, or is it the civilians trapped in Aleppo? The thousands who have been killed in the battle to retake the city, the United Nations says reports of bodies littering the streets and summary executions are just the beginning of what humanitarian workers may find if Aleppo finally opens up to the world. Stephen O'Brien is the United Nations Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator. He's a very frustrated man right now.
This is a very tough, very fluid situation. We've got fighting going on everywhere that is still contested, and we have a lot of people who are extraordinarily scared and fearful, either still hiding in basements or in the few remaining apartments that are standing from the destruction and mayhem that is surrounding them in a very chaotic situation. It's very difficult to put any numbers on it, but we know that there are still thousands of people, very vulnerable people, often sick, chronically ill, the women and the children, who have found it almost impossible to know when to take the risk of setting off from where they are to try and get to somewhere where they might think is relative safety. And we're in a very, very terrifying situation at the moment.
Do you hold any hope that the Turks can negotiate with the Russians to get a corridor open?
Well, we've been hearing various offers and ideas that are being proposed. The United Nations is always ready, and we stand ready to ensure that the fighters and those who are the combatants are prepared to put down their arms and to enable a humanitarian corridor properly supervised, with people having proper access to the point where they are able to get to a relative point of safety, either a reception center or where we can make sure they have shelter and warmth. It's winter now, of course, so it's very cold. We've had terrible reports of atrocities where men and boys have been, as it were, siphoned off from these corridors and have either been held for questioning or worse. So it's very good to have any of the offers, but we urge the parties, and indeed all those with an interest, to put it through the UN, because we can be sure that that's done according to the principles of making sure that civilians are protected and that we give all the life-saving and life-supporting measures that are necessary, food, water, shelter, medicines.
And this disturbing detail that you just shared with us, let's elaborate on that if we could. Is the UN saying there are summary executions taking place of civilians where males are removed from civilian hideouts and shot on the site?
As I say, these are unverified reports, but the fact that they are reports, it absolutely requires us all to take very clear notice of those and to get it said. I mean, that's why in this interview, it's important that I say it and that I don't, as it were, wait for verification to the point where we absolutely know it is a fact. But when we hear reports, we have to say it to try and deter those who are perpetrating such atrocities, if that is the case, from doing so, because we all call on everybody, even if they're incompetent, to abide by the very important laws of war and just basic common human decency, even in the face of these very difficult times of combat.
I just can't understand how it is the case that what's going on in Aleppo has failed to attract the outrage and the attention of the world. I'm just wondering if there's any way to put ourselves into the mind of the parent, the mother or the father who took some pictures this morning of a son saying goodbye to his dead brother in a pile of rubble and just hoping that that picture will attract someone's attention. Are they wrong?
Look, I think that, you know, all of us who are parents, we can think that we can imagine our way into the terror and the minds of those who are suffering such grievous loss, who are suffering such fear, who are often almost numb with the anxiety and the distress and the sense of hopelessness that comes upon any family or community when they are subject to these completely devastating and perpetual actions by others over which they have no control, where they are no longer agents of their own survival, of their own life. So yes, you can imagine it, but I suspect we don't even get close. And, you know, I wouldn't wish anyone to have to go through what people in eastern Aleppo are going through, or indeed many other parts of the besieged and hard-to-reach areas of Syria, or indeed, I have to say, in parts of Yemen or South Sudan or northeastern Nigeria. You know, we nonetheless have to retain a sense of however much as human beings and fellow human beings, our sense of moral outrage, our sense of duty as global citizens. We also have to remain professional and determined and just continue to fight for what we know to be right, which is to reach the people in need, to get them the life-saving support that they need, and to make sure that we highlight to the world that at the same time, we will hold the perpetrators to account. We will gather the evidence. We will make sure that one day these people have to face up to the terrible things that they've done and that they will be held to account and that there cannot be impunity, because how on earth will we then deter others from thinking they can get away with the same thing in order to prosecute their malign aims?
Is this the 21st century's Rwanda?
Goodness knows, I hope not. And, you know, we'll do everything within our power, and that is the responsibility of you and me and every one of us. And the United Nations has a particular responsibility, being the huge gathering and the top of where all member states of the world come together, where we need to try and find a way of getting them to resolve to make sure that these things are put to an end and that we don't have the violence being the only way that people try to secure a military solution to their differences and to their determination to win over others and for one powerful lot to try and suppress an increasingly impotent other set of human beings. That is completely the wrong way, not least in the 21st century, where hopefully even those younger generations coming up now who seem to be, of course, a prey to some of the influences of terrorists and others, we need to make sure that the lessons of history, and my goodness, did we not have to learn them hard, really are still learned generation upon generation, and we mustn't go backwards.
Stephen O'Brien, United Nations Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Emergency Relief Coordinator, speaking about the situation in Aleppo. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Thank you.